Okay, so welcome finally to the CMT seminar. We're ready to start. We've got Tim C, who's at KRTP at the moment. He did his PhD at, where was it again? MIT. Yes, for reminding me. It's been at least 10 minutes, man. Okay, so he's going to tell us about harnessing topological quantum matter today. So when you're ready, Tim, please take it away.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you for this opportunity. And sorry for the technological hassles just now. All right, so I'm sure all of you have by now seen millions of donuts and coffee cups in talks about topology. But probably never seen this fine product in the US and Canada. So, this is an example which you can take a simple donut to a whole new level just by introducing simple ingredients like bacon and maple. So in this talk, I'll talk about how you can take simple topological phases also to a whole new level of fractionalized phases of matter just by coupling a layer of spins. And if by any chance, these donuts actually appeal to you, you can find them at a location near you, shown here. All right, so first I'll begin with a very brief overview of topological materials, in particular the ones that I and my collaborators predicted and analyzed. Then I'll ask a question about what happens when you put such topological materials in contact with their systems. Is there a topological proximity effect? And finally, I'll use the intuition from the proximity effect to develop a new technique called the topological bootstrap, which allows us to go from existing topological materials to more fascinating fractionalized phases of matter. So I'm sure all of you know about the quantum Hall systems. This is the mother of all topological phases. And in particular, it's given rise to two broad categories, the integer quantum Hall variety and the fractional quantum Hall variety. But despite the fact that these two varieties originated from the same quantum Hall systems, the fates and phenomenology of these varieties has been very different over the past several decades. So let's start with the integer quantum Hall variety. Well, it's remarkable that these have been kind of liberated from their original constraints of high magnetic field, low temperature, and now these integer quantum Hall states, the variety of these states, actually exists in solid-state materials at room temperature. So a prime example, of course, is the topological insulator, which are bulk insulators with metallic surface states. And the metallic property is actually robust as long as the system has time reversal symmetry. So by now, these metallic Dirac coats have been observed in numerous ARPES experiments. So what I and my collaborators found was that telluride, an example of a different type of, is called the topological crystalline insulator, or TCI. And these are also bulk insulators, and they also have metallic surface states. However, in contrast to the topological insulator, these are protected by crystal mirror reflection theory, as opposed to time reversal. So in particular, there's no need for time reversal symmetry in this class of compounds. And the fact that a different symmetry is at play leads to different physics. So, for example, whereas a topological insulator has an odd number of Dirac cones at high symmetry point momentum space, these TCIs have an even number of Dirac cones that are not fixed at point in momentum space, but are free to move along lines. So in particular, tin telluride has four Dirac cones on 001 surface, and these have by now been observed in many RPES experiments as well. So there have been a lot of more theoretical and experimental works exploring the interplay between non-trivial topology and crystal symmetry. Okay, so that's just a very brief overview of integer quantum Hall variety states and their material incarnations. And so now let me go to fractional quantum Hall variety. So these are very different beings. In particular, one doesn't need to go to the boundary of the system to find anything interesting. Even the bulk of these materials have what's called anion excitations, which are basically pieces of the original physical degrees of freedom. And so the fact that they are pieces of the original degrees of freedom means that you can actually encode information non-locally in these pieces that can be far separated from each other. So this has led to a whole field of logical quantum computation. You can braid anions to realize logical gates on this encoded information. And it's a very exciting area. So while the fractional quantum Hall has, you know, these interesting properties and interesting applications, it's quite unfortunate that so far they've been very, very inaccessible. So they've been mainly limited to the original quantum Hall system. And there are a couple material candidates, for example, erbium-smithide or ruthenium chloride, but these materials are either hard to synthesize or some of the results are still very controversial. It's not clear what type of fractional phase it is. So yeah, my main point is just that it's very inaccessible compared to the integer quantum Hall variety. So here again, we have these two classes of logical phases. One of them very accessible, has some interesting properties at the boundary. Another one has this fascinating anions, which are useful for logical quantum computation, but relatively accessible. So the goal of this topological bootstrap technique that I'll talk about is to bridge this big gap in accessibility. It's to provide a route to go from the integer quantum Hall type to the fractional quantum Hall type. Okay, but so to build up this bootstrap, I want to ask a slightly less ambitious question of just what is the effect of topological phases on nearby systems. So existing proximity effects that we know about all have some kind of local order parameter. For example, in the superinducting proximity effect, there's a local pairing gap that decays into the secondary system. And in a magnetic proximity effect, there's, of course, a local magnetic moment. So topological phases, which have no such local parameter, it's at first sight unclear if there is logical proximity. So here's the particular setup I want to consider. So I'll be considering two systems, A and B, and the A system will be a topologically non-trivial phase of matter with some energy gap, delta A. And the B system will be identical degrees of freedom as the A system, but with some different energy scale, WB. Then I'll couple these two systems together, say with tunneling between corresponding sites if fermions. And I also want to consider a particular hierarchy of energies where the gap, the topological system, is the largest energy scale in the problem, and WB, the energy scale of B, is the weakest energy scale. So my full Hamiltonian consists of topologically non-trivial HA, some HB, and coupling HAB. And for simplicity, I'll just set HB to zero. So there will be no Hamiltonian, no intrinsic Hamiltonian for the B system. All right, and let me provide just a little bit more background in case this is not familiar to you. So there's a very simple toy model that captures the physics of the integer quantum Hall effect. That's basically a Chern insulator. So these Chern insulators are characterized by integer Chern number, which dictates the number of chiral gapless edge modes going around the system. So for example, Chern number one has one edge mode going one way, and Chern number minus one has one edge mode going the other way. And if you put these two together, then the edge modes are counterpropagating and get backscatter open up a gap, and one is left with a trivial system. So Chern number one and Chern number minus one are together equivalent to a trivial insulator. So let's see what happens when you put a Chern insulator in contact with a flat band. So here I've shown you the energy scales, with I've shown you the energy levels when the two systems are decoupled. So the blue, the shaded band, is just the occupied Chern number minus one band, the A system, and the B is just a flat band because there's no Hamiltonian. And the green is the conduction band of the A system, which has the opposite number as the occupied valence band. So now let's see what happens if you turn on tunneling between these two systems, A and B. So this this massive degeneracy in these systems will be lifted by second order processes, where an electron tunnels from the flat band of B into the conduction band of A and then back. So these second order processes will lift this degeneracy and induce an effective Hamiltonian in the B system given by a projector onto the excited conduction band states of the A system. So because of the fact that the conduction band carries the opposite Chern number as the valence band, this shows that the B system actually inherits opposite Chern number as the A system. So there's kind of like an inverse proximity effect. Chern number minus one induces Chern number one in the B system. So here's the phenomenology of this effect. When the two systems are completely identical, as shown on the left, in this case, one Chern number one induces Chern number minus one. So in total, the system is trivial. And indeed, there will be no edge states in this composite system. But in a terrace geometry shown on the right, now the original edge state and the induced counterpropagating edge state for the green system are now far separated. And in this case, they can basically coexist independently. So in this case, one expects to see essentially gapless edge states. Okay, and so I've shown you, I've provided some intuition for the proximity effect due to a Chern insulator, but this actually generalizes to all free fermion topological phases. And the analysis is quite simple. So here's the single particle Hamiltonian for the whole system. The upper left is the topologically non-trivial HA. HB is zero. And there's just this G times identity representing tunneling between corresponding sites. So one can first just diagonalize HA with some unitary U, and let's call the eigenvalues EN zero. So schematically, yeah, so because HB has zero, because HB is zero, one can use the same unitary to rotate the basis in B so that the tunneling remains diagonal and identity in this new basis. So schematically, the full Hamiltonian looks like this matrix shown on the left. And so this whole Hamiltonian just becomes a direct sum of small, these 2x2 matrices. And one can just readily diagonalize this and see that gap of the full system increases monotonically with the coupling G. So in other words, there's no phase transition from weak to strong coupling. And since we know what happens in the strong coupling case, the system is just a direct product of dimers and is manifestly trivial. This analysis shows that for any value of coupling G, the whole system is already trivial, which means that the original topological phase must have induced its inverse, the second system. So that's the story for non-interacting topological phases. But fractionalized phases, or non-invertible topological phases, are behave rather differently. So let's, for example, consider Kitaev's toric code as the A system. And let's consider bringing in a layer of spins, spin one halves looking on the same links of the square lattice as the D system. So in this case, I'll couple corresponding spins from the A and B layer with exchange interactions, so ZZ plus XX. And in this case, we find that the toric code in A actually induces another copy, the toric code in the B system. So one actually gets two copies of Kitaev's toric code in this proximity effect. And two copies, as you well know, is not identical to a trivial system. So it's very different from the free fermion topological proximity effect. This one, actually, you get a doubly non-trivial phase from this construction. Okay, so until now, I've told you that you can clone topological phases just like how you can clone sheep, except there's an extra version at the end of the day. But some of you might not be satisfied because we basically ended up with something that looks very similar to what we started out with. So the question is, how do we get something much more exotic? How do we get Shrek, this pretty resourceful sheep that is also clearly ready for the Waterloo winter? So, so the second part of this talk will be how to go from Dolly to Shrek. How to go from a less exotic to a more exotic topological physical matter. To do this, we're going to need new degrees of freedom. So I want to consider a slightly different setup than the one I just described. So I'll again consider two systems, A and B. Now the A system will still be a free fermion system. Now with two flavors, spin up and spin down, each in a Chern number 1 band. So in the total Chern number will be 2 in this case. Now for the B system, I don't want to consider electrons. Now I want to consider local moments that live on the sides of the same lattice as the A system. Okay, and then I'll couple the two A and B together. So my full Hamiltonian is basically a part that's just the Chern insulator in the A system for spin up and spin down. And these electrons in the Chern band are condo coupled to the local moments in the B system. So this appears to be a condo lattice, but it's very far from the usual condo lattice. So the fact that we're dealing with an electronic insulator with zero density of states means that the usual condo singlet formation is avoided for small condo coupling, much less than the gap of phase. And the intuition from the proximity effect is that something much more dramatic will actually happen. So in the A system, we have these electrons with one chirality. And if the B system were made out of electrons as well, then I've shown you that they would screen out the Chern number by forming the opposite chirality state. But now we're dealing with a spin system in the B system. And so the intuition is that somehow the spins will also want to screen out this Chern number, and that they'll form the spin analog of a Chern insulator. So more precisely, in a slave fermion or hard-top description of spins, the expectation is that the slave fermions will actually inherit the inverse Kern number as the A system. And then one can attain spin wave function by projecting onto the single occupancy per side sector. So it's doing a good projection onto single occupancy. So it turns out that if you singular project Kern band, you get something called a chiral spin liquid. So as the name spin liquid implies, there's no local magnetic order in the system, and yet it still breaks time reversal symmetry, and in particular has chiral edge states. And most importantly, this is a fractionalized phase matter. It's basically a bosonic analog of the fractional quantum Hall. So more precisely, there are bulk excitations called semions that are basically halfway between bosons and fermions. When you interchange two semions, you pick up a phase of pi over two, as opposed to zero pi. So it's this phase that you attain by doing a Gutzler projection of the churn band onto having one electron per site. So let's be a little bit more precise in why you achieve this Gutzler projection of the churn insulator. So here's an exact limit of this construction that I want to consider. So the first observation is that this local Kondo coupling is nothing but a local projector onto a spin singlet. The ground state of AFM exchange is just a spin singlet. And so the ground state of this Kondo coupling is a direct product of these singlets. So this ground state is a maximally entangled state between the A and the B system. Now, for this exact limit, I want to replace the local Kondo coupling with a global projector onto this maximally entangled state. So my for this limit of the setup, I want to replace this local Kondo coupling by just this direct projector minus G psi A B psi A B. It projects onto this maximally entangled state. So it turns out that in this setup, the induced Hamiltonian for the B system is also a projector onto this state that I've called psi zero S bar. And so it's in this psi naught S bar, the S stands for a projection and the bar represents time reversal. So basically it's not too hard to show this directly, but the intuition is just that because we're dealing with a spin system, the spin system can only inherit the spin sector turn bands. So that's where the Gutzler projection comes from. And the time reversal follows from the fact that for a spin singlet, any operator acting on one side of the spin singlet is equivalent to the time reversed operator acting on the other side of the spin singlet. So, so one achieves the time-reverse Gutzler projection of the churn band in the B system, which, as I've said, is a chiral spin liquid with opposite chirality as the A system. So this is fundamentally due to the maximal entanglement of a spin sink. And so we argue in this paper that one can actually interpolate from this global projector limit back to the local Kondo coupling limit. And there will be no gap closing as long as the correlation length of the A system is minimal, ideally zero. So I won't go into too much detail about this general argument. OK, so let me just summarize the phenomenology expected from this bootstrap structure. So here are the decoupled churn insulator and the spin layer. And what I've argued is that upon Hondo coupling the two, a chiral spin liquid is actually induced in the spin system. And since this chiral spin liquid has a counterpropagating spin mode, it'll gap out the original spin mode of the churn insulator. And so at the end of the day, one is just left with a charge mode for the composite system. And of course, one can also consider the terrace geometry where all the edge states are far separated and coexist. Okay, so thus far I've given you a general arguments for why we expect this to work. Now let me just give you two concrete lattice models where you can see this explicitly. So the first example will be how to use this topological bootstrap to achieve a Z2 spin liquid from a superconductor. So for the A system, I'll consider a square lattice with four Marianas on every side. And the Hamiltonian will just be a sum of two Marana interactions on every link. So every link has two Maranas, one coming from the adjacent sides. And so the A system will just be forming dimers from the Maranas living on the same link. So this is just some free fermion superconducting state. And for the B system, I'll consider a square lattice, but with spin 1/2 that are living on the sides. And so with these four Maranas, you can actually form a complex fermion with spin up and spin down. And you can then Kondo couple this complex fermion built from these Maranas to the spin living directly above it. Okay, so one can just do a degenerate perturbation theory to derive the spin interaction induced through this Kondo coupling. And one finds that the interaction is this four spin SYSX, SYSX term with just the one Plaquette model. So an example of the Z2 gauge theory. So indeed, one had shown that when you do a Gutzhiller projection of the free fermion state onto single occupancy per site, indeed get a ground state of one Plaquette model. So this is a direct realization in which the bootstrap achieves V2 spin liquid from superinductor, basically the Gutzhiller projection of the superinductor. And here's an example that's not exactly solvable. It's an example where you can start with a churn insulator and realize a chiral spin liquid. So for the A system, now I want to consider a Kagame lattice with electrons with nearest neighbor Hoppe and pi over 2 flux per triangle. So one can easily check that in this tight binding model, spin up and spin down electrons are each in a churn number 1 band. And so following the bootstrap setup, let's imagine depositing another Kagame lattice on top of this one with spin 1/2 on the sides. And let's Kondo couple the two together. So one, again, does degenerate perturbation theory, and at lowest order, one finds that the induced spin Hamiltonian is a J1, J2, J3 model with parameters shown here. So this is just coming from perturbation theory. And so there have been many numerical studies of Kagame spin models. And indeed, if one looks in this parameter regime, then there is the spin system is in chiral spin. And at next order in perturbation theory, the three spin term shown in the bold triangle is generated. And this just only serves to reinforce the chiral spin liquid phase. So this is not analytically solvable, but numerically verifiable example of using bootstrap both from churn insulator to chiral spin liquid. Okay, so I hope I've kind of shown you that more can be not only different, but also less, in some sense. So one can achieve a fractionalized phase of matter that's very different from the starting point just through quantum coupling. And there are many directions to explore with this technique. Of course, it would be very nice to realize the setup in some synthetic quantum system, such as ultracold atoms. And it would also be interesting to apply the techniques behind the bootstrap to maybe understand chondral lattices in heavy fermion systems, such as Samarit and Hexabora, for example. So what I've told you is basically only the first step, a proof of concept, in a much larger program. So the space of topological phases is very big. And we've only realized a very small sliver of topological materials in the integer quantum Hall variety. So there's this whole space left out there. And I've only talked about chiral spin liquids and Z2 spin liquids, which are examples of abelian fractionalized phases. And there are even more fascinating fractionalized phases with non-abelian excitations that are even more powerful for quantum computing purposes. So I've shown you about this new technique, the bootstrap, which in this talk took us from topological materials to abelian fractionalized phases. And there's nothing in principle stopping us from pushing this program to realize non-abelian phases as well. So one of my plans for the next few years is just to use this bootstrap technique to derive new spin models for such non-abelian fractionalized phases. And let me now discuss how this topological bootstrap fits into the bigger scheme of my future plans. So one of my main interests is developing new routes from topological materials to quantum computing. And not just because quantum computing is in itself interesting, but also because there's a lot of physics that will come along for the ride. So I've shown you one such route that passes through fractionalized phases as an intermediate step. And I've shown you how the bootstrap can take us from topological materials to fractionalized phases. So this will be one major area of my research. But there are, of course, many other routes to quantum computing. And another one that I'm particularly interested in is going through topological superconductors. So topological superconductors can host emergent Majorana modes. And what I'm interested in particular is what happens when you have many Majorana modes that are interacting with each other. I'll call such systems Majorana models. So only until very recently have people looked into these so-called Majorana models. And basically, it's kind of natural because the building block in such models is an emergent degree of freedom. So only until very recently have people even been able to realize this Majorana building block. But given the amount of effort being put into these systems, I imagine that in the near future, one can realize systems many interacting Majorana models. And let me just try to convince you of the wealth of interesting physics that can arise in such Majorana models. So I'm sure many of you have heard of the SYK model of randomly random four-body interactions between Majorana modes. And this system is supposed to be maximally chaotic, contain physics similar to that of a black hole. And in a more down-to-earth setting, what we showed is that for Majorana models, translation symmetry is actually a supersymmetry. And this actually has direct experimental signatures in the form of zero bias peak and tunneling conductance. in two dimensions, we found simple Majorana models, which are basically symbiotic versions of surface codes. And in three dimensions, there are Majorana models that serve as examples of what's called fracton logical phases. So these are phases in which quasi-particle excitations are either mobile only along certain lines or certain planes. These are called type 1 fracton models. Or they're completely immobile. And these are called type 2 fracton models. And some of you may know of the Ha codes or cubic codes. Those are examples of type 2 fracton models. So this is just to give you a flavor of the rich physics that can arise when you treat Majorana mode itself as a building block for models. So let me, in the final portion of this talk, let me just tell you about a very, very recent work that kind of ties together Majorana models and the topological bootstrap in one setting. So this is work done with a fellow postdoc, Abur Halad, and the details can be found in this paper appeared yesterday evening. So in this, we are interested in how you can understand the exotic fracton topological phases in terms of parton constructions. So as you probably know, partons have been very useful in understanding topological phases. Probably the most famous example is Kayev's honeycomb model, in which it represents a spin 1/2 in terms of four Majorana fermions. So we're trying to do something similar, but now to realize these exotic fracton phases in three dimensions. So here's an example of our construction. So consider a cubic lattice in which the blue spheres represent the physical degrees of freedom, which in this case will be two qubits. I'll call them sigma and tau. So in our construction, we represent each physical degree of freedom, which is these two spins, into eight satellite Majorana fermions. So they're labeled 1 through 8 here. These are the green spheres. And so to do so, we need to impose two constraints. So this is really just two copies of Kataev's parton construction. However, the main twist is that now to define what parton state you want to consider, it will no longer be a non-interacting parton state. It will actually be an interacting parton state. So we defined it as follows. In this physical cube, there are eight Majorana partons, each one coming from an adjacent physical site. And so for this Majorana cube, let's define four Majorana interactions for every face of the cube. So this will pick out a unique state of the partons for this cube. And we do this for all the cubes in this lattice. So this finds a parton wave function. And then now we can return back to the physical spin wave function just by imposing the constraints on the left by projecting onto the physical Hilbert space. And we'll get some wave function. So it turns out that the topological bootstrap can be used to derive a parent Hamiltonian whose ground state is this projected parton wave function. So it turns out the parent Hamiltonian in this case is these two interactions shown at the bottom. So these are eight spin interactions. And one can readily check that these are examples of type 1 fracton phases that have string and membrane logical operators. So remarkably, one can just make a slight modification of the setup to realize even more exotic type 2 or Ha code type fracton phases. So again, let's consider the same representation of two spins of eight Maharada partons. But now, to define the parton state, I choose a different set of eight Maharadas for which I impose these four Maharada interactions that are all commuting. Okay, so this now we'll pick out a different state for the parton waveform. And it turns out that when I run this topological bootstrap to see what the parent Hamiltonian is in this case, I again get this eight spin interactions, but in this case, this is actually a new type 2 model beyond the Hawkins with fractal logical operators. So this has all the good stuff of the Hawkins. If one looks at the ground state degeneracy as a function of system size, there are these spikes, system size is powers of two. And so we're pretty excited about just using these parton constructions to construct new fractal phases, maybe just a better understanding of it. So, but for the point of this talk, basically I just wanted to show this to illustrate the interesting things you can get when you put Maharada models together with topological bootstrap. So in summary, a large portion of my future research will be dedicated to extending and pushing this topological bootstrap program, get non-Abelian phases, and investigating the rich physics of Maharada models, both what can be said about general properties of such models and looking at specific models that may be interesting. So to summarize the main part of this talk, I've shown you that topology can be transformed with this bootstrap. So one can start out with something that's integer quantum Hall variety and very accessible in experimental systems, and bootstrap to change the topology into something, a fractional Hall type, which is more directly useful for things like topological quantum computation. So I've only had a chance to talk about a small part of my research, but let me emphasize that I've enjoyed numerous collaborations with both theory and experimental groups, as well as grad students who will shortly become postdocs. And I foresee many opportunities to collaborate with people like Guy-Frey, Roger, Sungsik, guy, as well as quantum fusion and high energy communities there. Thanks for your attention. Especially thank you for waiting 15 minutes, and we'll take questions now.
Questions? Can you hear us? Tim, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I don't know if I have a question. I was just checking. Okay, this might be a dumb question. Can you bootstrap a model that has no sign problem into one that has a sign problem?
In principle, yes. But I'm not sure how one would go about doing that. Like, in principle, that's possible, but. I don't have a concrete example of that. But.
All right. That was cool.
Any further questions?
That's it. We're terrible.
Okay, well, in case, let's thank Tim again.